on radio.
Right on radio.
Narrating the end of the world.
The end of the world.
This news just in.
Ready?
Go.
We are your news now. Providing the play-by-play for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right on, right on, right on. Live right.
Live right.
In the real world. Right on radio.
For continuous coverage, the latest information, separate fact from opinion. Get the truth.
Get the news.
You're listening to Right on Radio.
Comes into view. I saw the pain and turned my back. Why can I do the things I want to? I'm willing, yet I'm so afraid. You give me strength when I say I wanna be your hands, I wanna be your feet. I'll go where you send me. Be your hands, be your feet. I'll go where you send me. I'll go where you send me. And I'll try, yeah, I'll try to touch the world like you touch my life. And I'll find my way to be your hands. I'm abandoned every selfish thought. I'll surrender everything I've got. You can have everything I am. And perfect everything I'm not. I am willing, I'm not afraid. You give me strength when I say I wanna be your hands. I wanna be your feet. I'll go where you send me. I'll go where you send me. Be your hands. Be your feet. I'll go where you send me. I'll go where you send me. And I'll try. Yeah, I'll try to touch the world like you touch my life. And I'll find to be your hands, 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 feet, 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 go, 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 go. I wanna be your hands, I wanna see your feet, 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 feet. I'll go away, settle it. I'll go away, settle it. Be your hands, see your feet.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Right On Radio. My name is Jeff. Thank you for being here on this Sunday morning live. I'm just getting oriented here. Normally, I play a worship song on Sunday, and that one wasn't really a worship song. I'd say it's more of a ministry song, you know, just something of encouragement and to be set aside. And I think it's completely appropriate for today because, of course, we're doing Matthew chapter 10, and it's about the apostles being sent out. Well, they're called the disciples at this time. And, you know, this is a great chapter because it's one that if you just read through it, and a lot of people would speed read through this and think, yeah, I get it. Okay, Jesus said this, go here, go there, do this, do that. Don't be afraid. Okay, go on. But I think there's something much deeper here to behold. So we're going to take our time and go through it. And I do appreciate each of you being here a little bit early. I did not realize it was daylight savings time until this morning when I purposefully woke up early so I could prepare for this Bible study. But I found myself in a crunch for time. But the Lord does provide, and we're not going to get through the chapter anyway, so it's quite a good one. Let me just pray, and then I'm going to read the chapter to you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just being our provision, being our sustenance, Lord, for being all things in our life. But Lord, I thank you most for the Holy Spirit in conjunction with our salvation, of course, Lord. But it's only through your Holy Spirit that we can understand your scriptures. So we pray that you give divine wisdom, not just to me, Lord, although I do ask for that, but I do pray for you to minister through your Holy Spirit to each and every single one that is here today. Lord, and if someone is not born again and they happen to tune in, Lord, I just pray you send your ministering angels to them or your Holy Spirit just to whisper in their ear and show that you are God. Lord, it is not our words that convince people of who you are. Lord, you're much bigger than us, and you can speak for yourself as you do and as you will. So, Father God, I thank you for your scriptures. I thank you for these disciples. And Jesus, what an honor it is to read your words as God walking on earth, which is exactly who you are, a God who made himself the most humble possible, and then rose again back in victory into perfection. We praise your name. Amen. Jesus. Amen. All right. So I had time off. I wasn't looking at my phone. I wasn't doing anything. My eyes did not heal. We're going to start Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read the entire thing because of the beginning of the chapter, the first time we're doing it, and then I'll just read parts as we continue to go through it. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who also would betray him. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, "Do not go on a road to the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven has come near.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper or your money belts or a bag for your journey or even two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the worker is deserving of his support. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave the city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, see that your blessing of peace comes upon it. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. And whoever does not receive you nor listen to your words as you leave that house or city, shake the dust off of your feet. Truly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as wary as serpent and as innocent as doves. But be on guard against people, for they will hand you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings on my account, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about it, for what are you to say? For what are you to say will be given to you in that hour, for it is not you who are speaking, but the Spirit of your Father who is speaking in you. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and a child will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whoever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is easy for the disciple that he may become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they insult the members of his household? So do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are two sparrows not sold for an Assyrian? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are counted. So do not fear. You are more valuable than a great number of sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before people, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before people, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn man against father, and his daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be the members of his household. The one who loves the father or the mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And the one who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. The one who has found his life will lose it. And the one who has lost his life on my account will find it. The one who receives you receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person in the name of a righteous person shall receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones just a cup of cold water to drink in the name of a disciple, truly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Can you imagine if you were hearing these scriptures for the first time? My goodness, I thought Jesus came here for peace. What's he saying? He came to wield a sword. Are you reading from the Quran? You see, no person without the Holy Spirit can understand this. And if you are listening for the first time, and I'm thinking of you if you are here, Dwayne and Mary, I want to thank you for being here. Things are going to, you're going to find out they're a little bit different than what you may have just heard. Also, quite wonderfully, I want to point out and say hello to Thaddeus. Yes, Thaddeus, who was just named after one of the 12 disciples. I had a beautiful conversation with Thaddeus, and I know he'll be tuning in as well. All right. So let's just back up a little bit. So here, the disciples have been walking with Jesus. They've seen him on, you know, do the Sermon on the Mount. They've seen him heal all these people. They've seen him cast out demons. They've seen him exercise great authority. In fact, that's what the people said after Jesus preached on with the Sermon on the Mount. They said he speaks as someone with great authority, like way above the scribes, right? Who were the religious leaders of the day. And here, Jesus is giving authority to his disciples. Now, we learn later on, after Jesus dies on the cross and is resurrected, that he tells all the disciples and everything, the 120, to go into the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit, and power will come upon them. But here, Jesus is giving power. And by the way, Jesus gave people power in the Old Testament as well. It turns out God can do as he pleases. And I want to just say this right at the front, and I say this often. You may be hearing this as historical record, which it is. This is Jesus instructing, and he gives very peculiar instructions in some ways. But he's giving instructions and sending out his disciples. But I want to be clear. The word is alive. And this word is for you every bit as much as it was for those 12. And I'm going to prove it, because it even ties in to end of days. And we're in the end of days, folks. How many more days or years we have, I don't know. But we're in the end of days. That we are sure of. So Jesus gives them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every sickness. Verse 1, I think, is one of these verses where some, I'm going to call it the false church, false teachers, they convolute these things, and they'll say, you know, if you're sick, you have a demon in you. No, you might have a bacteria, right? Not everything is demon possession, especially if you're a Christian. You cannot be possessed. You can be harassed by unclean spirits. What are unclean spirits? Well, they're the fallen angels. They're disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. And you are given authority over unclean spirits. But this is another thing that is misinterpreted, and I want to be clear with this because I'm confident in what I'm telling you. So if this is relevant to me as it was to them, then I have also been given authority to cast out unclean spirits. And I have. I have cast out unclean spirits. But make no mistake, it's not in my power because I have none. It's in the authority of the one who gives it to you. If you work for a company and a company sends you, you know, across the country to represent them, you're representing them. You're doing it on their authority. You're not doing it on you. You're not the owner of the company. Do you see? We do these things in his power, in his authority. And to heal every disease and every sickness. Do you believe that you can do these today? Are you willing to be sent out to do these today? I'm going to skip past the names and just jump down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, "Do not go on a road to Gentiles, and do not enter a city of Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, why would Jesus tell them to not go to the Gentiles, to only go to the house of Israel? What's interesting here is Jesus does not give them a reason. And I just put the question before you. If you ever hear the word of the Lord, an instruction to yourself, and it doesn't make sense, do you just stop there and say, "Well, hold on, this doesn't make sense. Why would I do that, God? Why would I do that?" Does he owe you an explanation? Or are you called to just go out in faith? Now, this one's going to get a little bit tough. By the way, he doesn't give the answer here, but it's to go to the house of Israel first because Israel had all of the documents. They had the Torah. They had, you know, essentially the books of the Old Testament. They had all the prophets foretelling of the coming of the Messiah and how the Messiah would come and the things that the Messiah would do. And so they would be the ones to recognize Jesus. So it goes to them first. But then he goes on in verse 7 to say, "And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven has come near." And it certainly had, because Jesus was standing right there. Verse 8, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely you give." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Lord has given you his authority to go out and preach. And yes, you are called to preach. Every single one of you listening to me, be sure of that. you might not be called to be a preacher at a pulpit, but you are called to go out and preach the word of God. You're commanded to. Not to ram it down people's throats, not to go where you're unwelcome. You're going to see that later on here. But you should never compromise and pretend that you're not who you are, even if it's an embarrassing situation for you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Well, God is still doing all these. You know, every week on our prayer calls, we're getting testimonies. Not everyone gets healed. And I didn't say it last night, but my heart goes out to you, Sue, in the loss of your friends. And I join them in, I join everyone in the prayers of support of Becky's family and for you as well. Not everyone will be healed. Sometimes the Lord will just bring someone home. God is sovereign over that, and God lets people go through stuff. But sometimes he does miraculously heal. And we've seen it so often. You know, some of you were on the prayer call last night, and I shared a story. I'm sure she won't mind me saying it. But I was away last week, and I didn't check any of my voicemails. I didn't look at my phone. In fact, I had it turned off. I'd refused to look at TV, that sort of thing. So I had no idea of anything that was going on, and I was checking my voicemail on the way home, and there was a phone call from Cisco's daughter and also from Jesse. I want to thank Jesse for calling and leaving the message as well. Jesse had been requested to call me. It was urgent. Cisco was on her front porch a week ago today, and she was sitting there with her daughter, and her daughter has two dogs, and a pit bull was walking, you know, across in front of the house with the master, and it looked quite friendly. However, when that one pit bull saw the two dogs on the patio, it kind of turned, and Cisco put out her hand to grab the collar to say, you know, no, get the dog away. We don't want to have any problems. And the dog turned around and ripped her middle finger off of her hand. And we didn't get the message until yesterday, obviously. So it'd been 6 days, almost a week. And I called Cisco, and it was true. They weren't able to reattach her finger. Now, can we pray for that finger to grow back? Yeah, we can. But you know what? Cisco was in such good spirits. She said, "Jeff, the Lord saved my hand." The Lord saved her hand. She lost a finger. You know, cruel things will happen in this world. But also, God is in the miracle business. So don't be afraid. And when we're sent out to pray, in fact, can I just give you an example from this week? There's a couple examples where. So first of all, I just want to say to you that I wanted to get away from everything for a week. And really, it was my wife planned the trip and then said we were going. That's the truth, how it happened. And so I just wanted to kind of be just like a regular guy, you know, for a little bit. And I am a regular guy. There's nothing special about me, but I found myself placed in places where people were having medical issues, and my wife and I were there, and we were just able to pray. We didn't have to go and say anything to them, but we were placed in numerous situations like that throughout the week. But there's one odd situation, and please hear me. I'm not trying to do a commercial here. But we were on a beach on Friday. And this is very representative of the world. And there, you know, we're in, chairs, you know, lounge chairs. And the way they're set up is they're in rows. And there's a row ahead of us. And there's this two couples ahead of us. And they were, you know, nice people. We had some small chit-chat, you know, just friendly stuff. And, you know, they're having a few drinks and everything else. And we're just relaxing. And then all of a sudden, they decided they needed to take this picture. So all four of them stood up and, you know, they had their bathing suits and stuff on, and they just quickly threw a t-shirt over their bathing suits, and they all stepped away from the chairs to get a perfect picture of them with the, you know, just beautiful sea behind them, and picture perfect. And the t-shirts they put on said Team Grayson, G-R-A-Y-S-O-N, Team Grayson. And I said to them, I said, oh, wow, what's that about? And one of the ladies says, oh, my, it's so hard to even talk about. And it, this is going to sound cruel, because I think they're good people. But I don't know how putting on a t-shirt and taking a beautiful picture is, look, we're traveling the world, but we're on your team. I don't know how that helps. But anyways, I think the intent was good. There's a young child who's got some really bad cancer. His name is Grayson. And I said to the lady, I said, oh, you know what? I know a food supplement that when people, and it's really inexpensive, when people take it, many of them experience cancer going away quickly. And she says, oh, he's in chemo. And chemo doesn't often work, but it seems to be working this time. Chemo's horrific, by the way. And then when he completes chemo successfully, they're going to ship him off to this other out-of-town facility where he'll be for 6 months. Team Grayson, go. And they didn't even ask me, oh, what would that food supplement be? Because they're so programmed by the world. So here we're talking about a life and death situation with a child and the adults who care for this child aren't even curious. And is that not the same thing? People are going through rough circumstances, and everyone knows you're going to die eventually. Now, some people believe in reincarnation and all that crap, which ain't true. But when you tell them there is a way to be sure you have eternal life, oh yeah. No. It's yep. I'm confident in what I'm doing. Thank you very much. Don't want to hear it. Not even open to the conversation. And a lot of people will think, well, Christianity is actually cruel because it says unless you accept Jesus, he is the only way. Where every other religion says, oh, there's multiple ways. Yet every other religion in the world, and Christianity is not a religion, but every other religion acknowledges the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Now they lie about who he is. Even our time, 2024 AD, AD stands for after death of Christ. Time stopped and started again. But Christianity is somehow cruel because it says Jesus is the only way. I just have a question for anyone who says that. Okay, let's say I'm wrong and Jesus isn't the only way. You go to heaven and I go to heaven. That's great. But what if I'm right in my belief about the Bible and you're wrong, friend? I go to heaven and you go to hell. You see, you got nothing to lose. And salvation is a gift. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You cannot knock on enough doors and preach it to people to earn your way salvation. Just like it says here, freely you received, freely you give. It is so simple to receive the free gift of salvation. With proper intent in your heart, just simply say, Lord Jesus, I may not know you, but I do believe that you died on a cross. All of the world acknowledges it. I do believe you died on a cross. And the fact that you gave up your life willingly, I believe that you did it for the remission of my sin. Therefore, I will call you Lord of my life. And I thank you for the gift of salvation. And if anyone said that, I pray the Holy Spirit come upon you, even as we speak. And just like these 12 disciples, I have authority to ask that in Jesus' name as well. And it just so happens that this is one of the promises of God. So when I ask it, I'm confident He's going to do it for you. And your life will never, ever be the same. Let me just finish up this little piece here. Sorry that I got distracted. By the way, the whole point of that story for Grayson was not only representative of the world, but despite those people not even being curious, I have faith that this boy is going to be healed. How it happens, maybe at the doctor's hand. Okay, we'll take it. But despite those people, I am going to pray for Grayson. And I hope you will as well. And we're just going to ask Jesus to heal. In fact, I'm going to ask Jesus to heal it in such a miraculous way that no man can take credit for it. And it's not that often, but there are times when I will pray for healing. And I just know that it's going to happen. Now, when I say that, there's no way for me to get feedback. I don't have contact with these people or anything like that. So I may never know. But I actually have very strong faith that the Lord is going to do a miracle. And somehow the Lord will get credit for it by someone, by a doctor, by a parent. Someone's going to say, surely this was an act of God. So please, please pray for Grayson. Actually, you know what? This next part will take a little while. Now, let me just do a couple verses here. We're not too long. I promise not to be too long this time. Jesus says, freely receive, freely you give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts. So don't accept, you know, you don't need any. And he says, or a bag for your journey, or even two tunics or two sandals for a staff member is deserving of his wage. He's saying, don't put your trust in packing all the stuff that you need to take with you. Oh, just in case I might need an extra pair of sandals, or just in case I might need this, or just in case I might need this. And look, I just finished packing a suitcase. I know what this is about. Well, I might run into this situation, so I'm going to need this, and I might run into this situation. He's telling his disciples, don't take seconds. Don't just go. Because he doesn't want them to lean on themselves or their own provision. God is their provider, and God is saying he will provide through the people that you meet. So don't let things hold you back in going out to minister, again, which you are called to do. And in fact, this chapter is telling you to go do it as well. But how many of us will say, well, I don't know the scriptures well enough, so I just got to study for a couple more months, then I'm going to go out and tell someone about the Lord. How about just have simple faith and just go? You don't have to preach. Just love on people. And I know Jesus says later here that he came, you know, as a sword. He did not come to bring peace. And what he's saying in this chapter is true, but you might be hearing it wrong. It's a whole different meaning. The number one commandment for us is to love one another, and it is for us to be peaceful. So it is not a contradiction. And because I'm not going to be able to finish the chapter, I'm not going to be able to prove that is not a contradiction in this study, because it'll just go too long. But next week we'll get to it. He says, and whatever, or a staff, for the worker is deserving of his support, and you should be supported. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. So how would a disciple inquire to see who is worthy? You know, if you just read the scriptures too fast, you might think, oh, he's going to go to the most noble person, or the minister of the synagogue, you know, or the town governor. He's got to be worthy. No, the person who is worthy is the person who received you when you told him you came in the name of Jesus Christ. Might be the poorest person in the neighborhood, might be the richest, could be either, or in between. But Jesus is telling his disciples, go to that house. And importantly, he says, and stay until you leave the town. They could be there for a month. They could be there for 2 months. And most likely, they're going to end up in someone poor's house, because rich people don't tend to need God. They think that they've got it all, right? Nothing wrong with being rich, but man, you don't have it all. most people find God through some hardship. That's just true. And Jesus tells his disciple to stay in that home. And I thought, why? Why wouldn't you stay here for a week and then perhaps go, you know, to someone else's house for a week? Because I think it would lack integrity. You know, you're invited into someone's home. And, this person's got a pool. You know, I want to go there. I think it was just be there and be a real blessing on that family until you leave that city. And he says, and as you enter the house, give it your blessing. Give it your greeting. And if the house is worthy, see that your blessing of peace comes upon it. Now, if you read a couple other of the versions of the Bible, they're going to make different words a little bit here and there. But this is not for you to bless the house, as in the building. You know, I spray oil on this wall and I bless peace on this wall. It's not that, folks. I've never found that in scripture that you're supposed to do that. When Jesus describes Israel, he's talking about his people. And modern day Israel is you and I, ones who received Christ. And much the same as Israel, here he's saying it as to the house that receives him. That means the people in the house. So when you enter the house, give a blessing on the people of the house, is what he is saying here. And see that your blessing of peace comes upon it. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. So again, if you were to read the scriptures really fast here, you're going to miss the point. It isn't like, you know, the apostles come in, blessing upon your family, grace and peace to you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the owner of the house says, well, hold on. Oh, you're talking about that Jesus guy. No, sorry, heard it. Don't want any part of it, you know. So that if someone rejected, at that point, the house would be unworthy. So if the house was unworthy, it wasn't like Jesus is telling the disciples, well, then rubber and glue, it bounces off you and it comes back to me, or what? Or I take that back. I take back my blessing. Cursed be you. No, no. What he's saying is when you give a blessing of peace upon the house, if you are rejected, you go to your friend's house, your family's house, your neighbor's house, and you give a blessing upon that house. If the blessing is rejected, then take your peace and go with it. Know that they didn't reject you. They rejected the one who sent you. So the scripture is saying to you, take that peace, have peace in yourself, and leave and go to the next place where they will accept you. It's that simple. It's not to curse. It's not to shame them. It's not a display of power. It's like, you do not receive me, then I go in peace. That's what it means by take back the blessing of peace. And by the way, it is only through his blessing that you can do it, because we all hate rejection. And if you're rejected, and you can walk out of a place with a sense of peace, that is a blessing. Surpasses my understanding. Verse 14, continuing on, and whoever does not receive you nor listen to your words as you leave that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. I'll just stop there and I'll do verse 15 in a second. Many people have interpreted this as an insult to the people who have not received you. And I can understand where they get that from. And certainly Paul did it twice, where he took the dust off the bottom of his shoes. He didn't want to take any of that with him. But I think of it as symbolic of just that, not as much to insult the person who came from. In fact, I'd say not at all. Just like when you take your blessing back if you're not received, and you go in peace, when it's to take the dust off the bottom of your sandals, just don't take any of that with you. Just let it be gone. Go in peace. So when you present the gospel in whichever way it is, to whomever it is the Lord puts in front of you, if they do not receive you, you don't need to argue with them. You don't need to. Now, sometimes it'll be a vigorous conversation. That's okay. But if they reject you, just go in peace. And don't take that rejection with you, that it may stop you from going to the next person. And why is this so important? Verse 15. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city. Sodom and Gomorrah was blown up. Hailstones of sulfur just decimated the city. And Jesus is saying that would be like a picnic compared to what's going to happen on the day of judgment. And having read the wrath of God, I can clearly say to you, having belief in every word of the Bible, that this is a very true statement. So why is it important for you not to be discouraged when someone rejects the message that you give them? It isn't because you are not saying it properly. It's not because you need to practice more, although that's good, of course. It's not because you needed more Bible knowledge. They rejected the one who sent you, not you. You were just the face of it at the time. Because God uses people. And just as that song said, you know, why don't you volunteer and let me be your hands and let me be your feet? I will go where you send me. Praise be to the Lord Jesus. Hey, if you want prayer, you can put it in the text chat box. And not only myself, but we have a good bunch of prayer people. And testimonies are good too. Thank you. I see Cackle Smack just put a testimony in. I'll read it in a moment. Again, there's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about my prayer team, although they just practice it a lot. They love to pray. And we're seeing a lot of prayers being answered. So if you need prayer, we're willing to pray for you. And by the way, we do have our prayer meeting. All are welcome. You don't have to say anything. We'll never call you out. You could pray silently with us. We worship the Lord. We pray to the Lord. We give testimonies to the Lord. It's a good time, and you will leave full of joy. you'll leave happier than when you came. That's a guarantee. Because the Spirit of God is good. And we do that every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Telegram, on our main channel, Right On Radio. And we do it Saturday night at 8 p.m. again on Telegram. That's Eastern Standard Time, Right On Radio Telegram channel. Cackle Smack has a testimony here. It says, a few weeks ago, you prayed for my dog, Izzy. Yes, we did. That's right. As I thought we were nearing the end, your prayers worked. We learned her symptoms were mostly due to a UTI. She has recovered and is doing well. I'm assuming it's well. There's a couple of letters were missing there, but thank you very much for that testimony. Yeah, we pray for animals too. All right, I'm just looking if there's any more prayer requests. Wow, I'm surprised how many people are here. I didn't think we'd get this many people. It's the first time I've really looked at chat since we started. I thought between me being away last week and the time change today that it would be just the few faithful, but thank you for being here, each one of you. Even though some of you aren't in the chat and stuff like that, and I get it. I'm so glad that you're here and that we can study the Word of God together. Just looking, giving one more minute for that, I'll just mention that this is a listener-supported ministry. If you, and by the way, freely I receive, freely I give. I never charge. I never say, hey, if you support me, I'll give you the secret intel. You can come into my insider club. I never do that. When you support the show, you get nothing from me because what I give is free. I just pray that the Lord will be your reward. So before you give, just pray to the Lord and ask if you should do it. And if you are, then I pray that He gives you the reward because I got nothing for you. It would be so unfair. You know, the only people who can afford $30 a month can find out this, you know, or that. Although having said that, I am going to be putting some stuff up on the Right On community. And you can join the Right On community. Go to Right On You. That's RIGHTONU.com and just sign up. It's free. You got to put in your email address. We have to make sure that you're human. Then you respond to an email, you know, that sort of thing. That way there's no bots. Okay. There's no trolls. But I will be putting some stuff up on there because on the show, I can't cover everything. And sometimes I think I just might put something that's important up there. So, because it's a production to do a show, folks, it's a lot more work than you might think. Especially going on to like 20 different platforms, you need different size artwork and, you know, you have to separate the audio from the video. There's a bunch of stuff. And so I might just put up some short stuff on there, on the Right On community. So it's a reason for you to join and it is 100% free. Thank you. I did miss all of you. I did think of all of you as well. Yeah. Wendy, thank you for putting that. She gave testimony last night. And I know Wendy's not going to care that I share this because she put it in the chat. Wendy is a retired vet. And so, you know, there's a fixed income and her washing machine was broken. The Lord fixed her washing machine. And as she said, it wasn't like some sock was stuck in it or something like that. The Lord fixed her washing machine. And not only that, she had been gone. She had been going without a vehicle for some period of time. She couldn't afford the repair on her vehicle. So it was just sitting there rotting. and the Lord provided for her, and her her truck got fixed, and then she blew me away and said, not only that, but I, you know, have a little bit of an emergency fund now as well, like a triple blessing. And if it was in worldly ways, this could have, you know, just if someone who's smart and they don't know the Lord, they could have just said, well, if I do this and I do this and I do this, I can save up this much and this much time, and I can fix this and this much time. The Lord just did it for her. And it doesn't happen to each and every one of us in each and every situation, but the Lord does do it. And he's done it in my life. And I know everyone here has had something like that happen in their life from time to time. So God is really good. Thank you for reminding me of that. It's so funny. Healed the washing machine, fixed her truck, and gave her a bit of a buffer for in the future. Hey, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for being here. And I'll just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person in this Right On community. And I thank you for those who are about to join the Right On community and not just the online platform. I'm talking just be joint in with this group of people, Lord, that we can love on more people. Lord, that we can share, we can support, we can lift each other up. We can pray for one another. We can encourage one another. And Lord, I just pray that you provide healing for those who need healing in this community. Lord, give strength in their legs so they'll be able to stand when the storms come. Lord, I pray you minister to their spirit and you increase each and everyone's faith. Lord, that they believe you more and more. And even as your word says, continuing on in chapter 10 of Matthew, Lord, we don't even fear someone unto death because you've even conquered that. So we should have no fear. Give us the faith to withstand those types of challenges. I pray all this and your provision for your people in Jesus' mighty name. God bless each and every one of you. Remember to be loved. Be blessed. Be the Berean. Trust no one and read the word for yourself. And then simply believe his word. Amen.